finally live. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that knew me from high school said that they didn't like the way that I was correcting the way that they were using Facebook posts because they were wrong and they were doing it the way they liked. So why should I complain and use it the way that I want because I'm not doing what they want because it's their Facebook, so shut up. Part of the reason is also to follow up with some of the ideas of sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me on G+, Twitter, Facebook, wherever. And tonight, you'd be able to get in contact with me if you'd like to be on the show. I was born into a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island. I currently reside outside of Buffalo, New York, and am an unabashed atheist. Joining us right now from the road is Unrenowned Tech.
Hi, folks. I'm Unrenowned Tech. I'm currently actually talking to you via cell phone. Wonderful technology in the wonderful streets of Baltimore. And I'm an atheist. I got here after having tried two different religions and studying several others. And between experiences in life and knowledge and just learning and reading, I came to the conclusion that it's all full of shit.
And also joining us from over the pond is Chris.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm Chris. I'm from England. I'm raised sort of nominally Catholic, but never really went very far into that. And I've been an atheist for, I suppose, for many years, but have only recently been sort of any active or identified myself that way.
And a very, very large thank you for joining us tonight.
No problem.
If you would like to join us this evening, the phone lines, so to speak, are open. Just get in touch with me via G+ or Twitter or Facebook under the name Shujin Tribble, and I will see about sending you over the information so you can join us this evening. This
and
is.
I don't want to complain about my beard being shortened. I'm sorry. It started to try to take over my face and gain a life of its own, and I'm sorry. I'm more evolved than my beard. It had to go, or it was me.
Generally speaking, I think that I prefer that you take control of it all. That's okay. Anyway, again, this evening, it is the Power of 10 episode, so this is your opportunity. If you'd like to be on with us, again, by all means, let me know, and I can see about shooting you a link so you can join us. All you need is a microphone. If you have a webcam, even better, but it's not a necessity. However, as always, with apologies to Heath Enright from The Scathing Atheist, 5 minutes on the clock for the five-minute freestyle. Now, the last couple of weeks, I've actually been thinking about what to talk about, and I do that every once in a while. You know, I start thinking about it, try to figure out what am I going to talk about. You know, start banging some ideas in my head, see what seems appealing. And I really didn't have anything that was really sticking with me until earlier this evening. I was on the way to, I was actually on the way back from work after delivering some wedding confectionaries. I can't call them wedding cakes because it wasn't all wedding cakes today, which was a little unusual. I don't understand why some people would want apple pie instead of cake for their wedding reception, but hey, 'tis not for me to answer that. It's the check clears and, you know, whatever. But on the way back, we stopped at a local Target department store and convenience store because I needed to check to see, you know, what my bank balance was before I pay off a couple of bills. And something weird ended up happening, almost anachronistic. I pulled into a parking spot and I was looking at the Jeep right next to my car, and I look in the window and I start to smile. And the little one's coming out of her side of the car, and she comes around to my side and she's like, "What are you looking at? But take a look. Guy over here is a ham radio guy. He's got his ham radio call sign taped to the inside of the window so you can see it." And the windows were a little bit tinted, and then all of a sudden I saw this like motion going on inside the car, and the guy's waving, and he's like, hold on a second, I'll roll down the window. I'm like, no, hold on a second, I'll come around. So come around, and he's a college age, a university age guy, and he's going to local college right just, you know, a couple miles away from where we were at the time. And I'm just like, holy smoke, this is really cool. And yeah, he's up over here from Arizona, as a matter of fact, and he still had the orange tag on the inside of his window for Pumpkin Patrol. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had to deal with this before, if you've ever heard about it, but Pumpkin Patrol is something that happens out here in the Western New York area along the New York State Thruway, which travels from New York City, the north side of New York City, comes around the top side of New York State, and then dips down and then traverses, eventually ending, all the way at the other end of the continent in Washington State. So it's a fairly long highway, you could say, but every year the ham radio guys come out there and they help out the state troopers by sitting in their cars watching various overpasses to make sure that no juveniles decide that they are going to try to experiment with gravity and acceleration forces and impacts of jack-o'-lanterns and pumpkins on windshields of passing cars underneath. And I thought, how cool is this? Here is this guy who came three quarters of the way across the continent to be here in Buffalo to study so that he can make his way over to the Rochester Institute of Technology eventually to do sign language interpretation and the associated things that RIT is famous for. But he is a youngster. He is college. And he got involved with ham radio, which is almost an anachronism in the current age of technology, with these being able to give you instant communication with people all over the planet at any one time. And yet, it's still a viable system. And to think that ham radio, as we know it today, wouldn't exist if the government hadn't said, you know what, we're going to take you off of the bands that we're using for the war effort, and we're going to shove you higher, higher, higher frequencies until, you know, you guys can maybe talk to each other if you're lucky. And now we've got some of the prime radio area for experimentation, for communication worldwide, literally extraterrestrial communication. And yet, these guys are also a courtesy of the Cold War, of the Hot War of World War II. Because the spread spectrum technology that makes these a possibility was born out of the war effort to control torpedoes. Frequency hopping, spread spectrum, control technology was the forerunner to these. These are controlled by circuits inside. And we have player piano rolls to thank for the concept. I'll talk about it more another time because 5 minutes are up, but how cool is it that an anachronistic technology is still one of the most vital that we have to work with.
I have a certain song coming to mind when you were talking about this and the player piano, and it's like, when I was your age.
Exactly. So for those of you that are kind of wondering about it, I'm assuming, Tech, that you're talking about Weird Al's particular version of the song.
No, I was talking about the one that you used to play at the beginning of the When I Was Your Age episodes that you were experimenting with.
Yes, they are still available on YouTube under the When I Was Your Age, and that was George Robb. Good, close, warm, personal friend of he knows me, and he may come on again sometime. We'll see about having him on.
Of course, the Weird Al Yankovic version is still great.
True enough. apologies. I'd gotten a message from Talking Wallflower, who had to step away, but he's been waiting for us. We got started a little bit late tonight because hosts and real life kind of got in the way of everything. Witchy Bunny, I did not hear anything from, so I'm hoping we will still be able to get her sometime. Dallin, as we know full well, was moving, so he probably won't show, but we're hoping for. Joe was not feeling at all well, so he laid down to take a nap, was hoping to be back, but we shall see.
I would normally be home myself, but I received a last-minute invite from one of my gaming friends, one of my tabletop gaming friends, and I want to speak out to the people real quick, because since we don't really have, we do have topics that we can talk about, I would like to send out a little brief message that, you know, just because you have friends that you associate with for one particular reason or another, doesn't mean that they don't branch out into other possible arenas of entertainment in any of its forms that you might also be interested in. So if you have that one friend that you hang out with, but you only hang out with the friend because you play tabletop or you play video games together, whatever, find out what else they're interested in and try it. It may be something that you like. You may find out that you already have a second interest that the two of you like, and it will open up new possibilities for finding other people with those similar interests as well. And that's one reason why I'm going to be so short-lived tonight, is because I'm meeting a lot of different types of people, but they're all sharing the interest of the area that I'm in right now and the activities that we're doing. And I'm learning new things. People are learning from me. I actually had a conversation at a bar about what the essence of me is. And if you look back on some of our past episodes, we've actually had these discussions. And so I gave him what my understanding of me was as defined by science and psychology and other forms of studies. And he found this information to be very interesting. And I told him, I said, listen, if you want to hear me really talk about it and other people talk about it too and their concepts and their ideas, you know, go on YouTube, watch Holy, you know, do a search. I gave him all the information to find our show, Sujan. So he may actually end up being a new viewer because he sounded interesting and interested in some of the topics that we've had in the past.
Cool.
I don't know if he'll become active or not, but, you know, hey, one more person take an interest. And you just never know who you're going to meet. It's an amazing experience. I do get out, folks. I just don't get out enough.
I know that feeling all too well. And Chris, like you said, it is oh dark stupid in the morning for you. What the hell, man? Why are you awake at this hour of the morning?
This is obviously solely for the Holy Crap podcast. No, it's actually I'm an online gamer, and being based in the UK, most of the people I play with are either American or Australian. So at weekends, I tend to operate on sort of international time zones. So this is a time where I'm normally be awake in the morning.
International time zones. I'm thinking of Londo Malari now. Open 9 to 5 Earth Standard Time. But that's one of only two voices. Well, three. I mean, if you include my own.
That, what are you for show? Decoration?
Very.
I keep thinking about the card game.
There you go. So tonight is the Double Double X. We are up to episode 40, which, by the way, even though I didn't put it in the episode name, which I really need to update, this is the Not Safe for Work episode. So if you didn't already know it already...
Like shit, damn, and or fuck.
Exactly. So
when you're talking about Amish Wolverine saying the Pope is not Christian enough, hey, Ken Ham, fuck you.
So there you go. That's how it's going to work tonight. And by the way, since I had said that I was going to do it, I actually did find at one of my local retailers, Johnny Walker Black. So,
you and my mom would get along with that stuff.
Well, I've never had this stuff before, but I decided that for this episode, just because it is still sealed, and our good friend Hitch.
Some people like it room temperature. Some people like it on the rocks. You know. Well, my understanding is there is a slight difference in flavor when you chill it. So,
Well, it was in my freezer for a while, so Hitch, we fucking miss you, man.
What do you think?
It's going to take some getting used to.
Well, hey, it's not for everybody. Some people like Makers, some people like Jim Beam, some people like, it's like me. I'm actually a big vodka fan. Not that I drink heavily. There's no point to me drinking heavily. An extremely high alcohol tolerance means I would empty my bank account before I'd get drunk. However, in terms of flavor, there is a vodka called Ultimate. Now, spell the English word ultimate and then take the E off of it. That's the vodka. It's actually Polish. It's made from several different grains and it's triple distilled. And it has a very unique flavor. And it's the flavor is almost non-existent. It's kind of like an after, almost like an aftertaste, except it's very pleasant. It goes down warm. It doesn't burn, which is important to really enjoying a good alcohol, in my opinion. And for those of you out there like me who don't like whiskeys or scotches, give that one a try.
Fair enough. We can see about that. So we're gonna talk through some stuff that basically pisses us off, things that we want to see happen, and try to figure out where, since it's a basic free-for-all, and I'm opening the floodgates for anybody who wants to join us. Hey, cool. We'll see where it goes. And since you are effectively our first fan. Host at this point. First off, congratulations. I'm exceedingly, exceedingly flattered. Not just that you wanted to come on, but that, I mean, it's, like I said, it's damn early in the morning for you, obviously, even though, you time shift for it. So what if I am not good at asking these kinds of things, so I'll just try to tamp down my self embarrassment. And what the hell do you actually like about this show? God, I have no idea why anybody would want to watch.
For me, though, so I follow a number of sort of atheist and skeptical shows, such as Scathing Atheist, No Religion Required, Barroom Atheists, and there's a range of ones that are sort of very slick and professionally produced, and a lot of it is sort of scripted or semi-scripted. Or on a very sort of particular topic, and that's great if you're looking for something on that topic, or you want that. But there's also a very interesting thing of watching people go through the process of investigating a question and discussing that without the prior preparation on that, seeing the natural reaction. And I just like the way that it's the interaction between yourself, Shujin, and the other various hosts
Well,
and the different things that you bring.
I appreciate that. I don't think I do anything particularly special, but I guess that's,
So it
you know what
wasn't
gets. I'm sorry, it's what?
that. I said, so it wasn't the green hat.
No, it wasn't the green
I
hat.
know, the green hat was a brilliant tech.
So, a couple of things that that I wanted to bring off to the table. Something that I had brought to the, I forget what they called it, but basically the fan cast that the guys had done for Atheists on Air and Cash and company. And by the way, Cash, nice that you're back. Even if it is truncated by comparison, that just works out good for me because now I'll be able to catch up on all your episodes in less than a week and 14 months or something like that. So long as there's not going to be another 4-hour show, that's all I'm worried about. But we had a small kind of get together with some folks on a hangout, and I helped out with that, as a matter of fact, trying to explain how to make those work and how to get them recorded and such. But one of the things that I brought to the table for these guys to kind of kick around was the thing that ends up pissing us off, and one of the reasons why we originally wanted to do these Power 10 episodes, the religious tropes that get trotted out every once in a while as image memes on Facebook, on Twitter, and all this other stuff. And we've seen these all over the place, you know, the things that are espousing all the good of religion, quoting Bible verses, and pictures that are all nice and puppy dogs and rainbows and such and whatnot. But the idea of commenting on somebody else's posts gets to be really annoying, and not necessarily for the people who are making the posts, meaning the people who are responding, but the people who are putting it up on their walls on Facebook, in their stream on Twitter or G+ or whatever else it is they're using. So why can't we take them and post them ourselves with our own reactions to them? But what I want to do is, what I pitched is building a graphic, a very simple graphic that we can lay on top of whatever the image was, download the image, use an image editor like GIMP, for instance, because it is dirt simple and it's cheap, like free, which is nice, and upload a new version of the image that basically says, you know, has an overlay of like red something or other on it that says my reaction to, or something to that effect. And we've got to try to figure out what the heck it is. And I'm sorry, I got a message come through from Wallflower. I'll read it in just a second. I'm sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. But the idea of making our own version of the post to differentiate it, to say, okay, I am posting this to my wall. If you've got a problem with it, either to shut the fuck up, or if you question it, I'm going to tear you a new one because you're commenting on, you're trotting on my place.
Well, I think you're overcomplicating things. There is the share system built into Facebook, so you can actually share somebody else's post. And when they look at their wall, they see, okay, here's the post that the other person had. And when you hit comment, unless you actually go to the other person's post, the comment posts on your wall. Whether or not they receive that comment on the other, I don't believe so. They may get a notification saying, hey, somebody shared your post, but not that that share post is receiving comments on somebody else's wall. I have done so with articles before, but I don't know if I've done it with just an ordinary run-of-the-mill post. Like somebody saw, let's say they're posting about Ken Ham receiving tax dollars because the park is considered to be, he's trying to build, is considered to be an attraction that will generate money for the county or whatever, and somebody thinks it's a good idea. So I might share that and go, you know, this is off of somebody else's wall. I think this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And the comments to the people that would make it on my wall would show up on my wall.
Okay. Hold on.
Regular posts.
Okay, well, hold on from there. Chris, you had something you wanted to chime on that.
I was going to say it's fairly easy to take an image or a post from Facebook and then convert it and edit it and repost it, even if you can't do the overlay. I can just see massive opportunities for trolling here on that, and I'm not sure how that would be sort of policed in terms of... maybe, I don't know, different people defaming or doing something very negative to someone else's image.
There's
something I noticed in that etiquette on Reddit, if anybody's familiar with Reddit, is when they post something that they saw that they thought was funny, silly, or sad, you know, whatever the case might be, on Facebook, they have a tendency to take a screenshot of that system, of that post and the associated comments. And what they'll do is they'll put it, open it up in like MS Paint if they're on Windows, or GIMP, on Linux, whatever the case might be, and they'll edit out the person's name. They'll put like a red bar or a blue bar, whatever, color code it so that we know that this is the original poster, these are their comments, but we don't know who they are. Their picture's been blurred out or erased. So there's no reference back to who the original poster is. Now, as to find, being able to copy and, you know, take the text of the Facebook posted that information, I don't know if that's possible. I've never tried it. So the on Reddit, you'll see a lot of funny or even dead stuff from Facebook, but the names and faces of the posters have been protected, and that's kind of Reddit edit etiquette. I don't know if that applies to Facebook.
Okay, we'll see about that. Just for just so you know, for whatever reason, your audio kind of comes in and out. I'm not quite sure why that is.
It's the headset. It tries to cancel out background noise. It's very windy in the area of Baltimore that I'm in. Actually, the weather's windy all over Baltimore. And on top of that, if the microphone moves against my shirt or my coat, it sends a little scratching sound. So it's trying to, you know, the whole setup is trying to account for that and try to, and I have cars going by. That's why I'm not going to be staying on for very long tonight, because otherwise you'd be plagued by this all night long, and it's just not conducive of a good show.
Fair enough. So, well, part of the, and pass it by you guys, part of the reason that I was thinking about doing it the complicated way that I am, as opposed to just resharing it off of our own walls, is to intentionally put, I am reposting this because I have something different to say, as opposed to just, here's the picture, and here's the stuff, and okay, it's easy enough to see what it is and just pass along on it. But the idea of putting something to it that catches the idea, that catches the eye, so that you're not just scrolling past it and all of a sudden you see this thing and, oh, wait a minute, somebody's done something different to it. What's going on over here?
That system sounds like it would definitely be great in terms of being able to convey your thoughts and feelings and emotions and your opinions while trying to maintain a moderate amount of professionalism. But Facebook wasn't originally designed that way. Facebook was originally designed for somebody to post something, whether it was a link or a picture or an opinion, and then have people comment on their wall about that. So when you go visit a site, one of the pages of one of your friends who, let's say they're Jewish, okay, and they say, oh, you know, this rabbi just circumcised my son. It was fantastic. Everybody showed up. It was great and everything else. And your opinion of circumcision is, that's wrong. And you post that on their page. You're actually using Facebook the way it was originally designed and intended to work. As to how you word your dislike for that that event, that's completely up to you and how you want people to perceive yourself. So if you feel that that's something that needs to be addressed, and you feel they've made the wrong choice, you can word it at like a troll, like our guest was saying, or you can word it as a concerned parent to another concerned parent. This is your thoughts and feelings. Ultimately, you understand that it's their decision, but if they have any more children and they happen to be male, maybe they want to rethink their actions, and then maybe even show them some links where things have gone horribly wrong and this is why you have these feelings. That would be not only more professional, but probably a little bit more compassionate and less trolling. If they take it the wrong way, some people can't handle text on a screen because there's a lack of voice, there's a lack of interpersonal communication and nonverbal communication in body language when you're on a computer. And there are a lot of people who do not take that into account. And there are plenty of people who feel they have been trolled when in reality, nobody was trolling them to begin with.
Well, it's possible, although the idea of taking the extra time to troll somebody seems very appealing to me. Anything that you want to add at this point, Chris,
I'm happy to move on.
Okay, then. By the way, for what it's worth, I did just see something from Facebook. Dallin has apparently finished the move. And as of half an hour or so ago. So he's having a little bit of fun with all that. So he's at least got some kind of a net connection of some sort. So we will no promises one way or the other. But hey, dude, we're hoping for you. All right. As far as to that kind of thing with Facebook and whatnot, leave that aside. We're up to 40 episodes, and we are fast approaching. Well, we're actually steadily catching up on Jake for Wharton. So, Jake, we're catching up on you, which is really, really nice. Don't do that, then.
I didn't do that on purpose. I do have here in Baltimore a very high speed connection. I'm actually receiving LTE connectivity on my phone. I have one bar, and it's been fading in and out. And just until just now, the connection's been somewhat okay, but I guess the phone's telling me, hey, you know, go back inside and pay attention to your friends.
Okay, so you're going to go ahead and drop out?
Yeah, I'm going to drop out. There's still, you know, another hour or so before they close down, so I'm going to go have a good time. But to our viewers, you know, hey, listen, bring in the questions. You know, let her rip. You know, because here's the thing. You may let in a really good question, and we may save it for the theme of a whole show rather than just a subset of this particular one.
Oh, yeah. We've had that.
So you never know what your question, what the results are going to be of. So don't be afraid to speak up. That's what we're here for. Because if you don't, who is?
Absolutely. You take care of yourself, man. Have a great night.
Absolutely, guys. And have a great one. Hey, thanks for showing up.
Okay, I
forgot his name.
It's Chris.
Chris, thank you for showing up. We appreciate it, especially me dropping out and the rest of the band not being here. You get to play solo drums.
I know, it's got quite a thing for our first time, but from what Tech was saying about the joining in and the asking questions, that's how I've started getting involved in this show over the last few weeks. And then I decided to take this opportunity to join in more. And it's always great to get the host's take on your questions. And they may well cover angles that you know, you've not thought of.
Well, I will be sure that when I'm done here tonight, I will go back and watch the show over again and make sure to listen to any questions that you posted while I'm off the air. And, you know, maybe we can all come up with a show based around one of them, one that seems to be a really good in-depth one, and we'll have you back for it.
Okay.
That's ultimately up to Shujin, because it is his show, and I don't want to derail his host, his DM position there.
We'll see what happens.
I'm just an underling! You have a great night, guys, and have fun.
Okay. Take care, man. Stay safe.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. So I did get word from... Let me find him over here. I got a message from Talking Wallflower, and why can't I find you? There he is. There we go. We'll see about having him join us up in just a couple seconds over here. Known as Talking Wallflower over on the various Google accounts, it is Mike. We're just going to have to give him a couple of seconds so he can transfer over to the right guy over here. Yep. All right. So while we're waiting, like I said, this is 40 episodes in, and I wasn't quite sure how long this show was going to end up lasting, and there you are. Flower is here. Hey, man.
Because I'm here.
Okay, that's not exactly working quite right. We'll wait and see for that to try again. All right, we'll see how that plays out. All right, one more time. You are there. Maybe.
Episodes in.
And I wasn't quite sure how long this show was going to end up lasting, and here you are. Happening. Flower is here. Amen.
Hello.
In order to hang out with us.
Hold on, I got to turn off the
okay, that's not
the
exactly
stream over right here.
We can see for that to try again. Let's see, if you've got this working correctly, you should be hearing just me on the live side.
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
There you go. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me. Give me 1 minute. I need to buy some cancer sticks. Don't smoke. It's bad for you.
All right, fair enough.
Newport 100s, please.
All right. So anyway, we'll pick you up in just a couple of seconds over here. Like I was about to say, since it's 40 episodes in, and I've got a pretty good feel for how we work this. It's definitely evolved. It's become how it's become so far. And I feel pretty confident in format-wise how things have been playing out so far. So I've got a pretty good handle on that. But now here comes the big question and the hard one to deal with. What do we do? And by that, I mean, should I be looking at a Facebook fan page? Should I be looking at a more dedicated Twitter or G+ account? Should I be looking towards trying to find out if there is a way of promoting the video series somewhere else to feed it into more people? Is it even worthwhile? Is it worth trying to do something like that? And is there enough askins for it at this point? I know full well that, like I say at the end of the shows, you know, this is not a sexy system that that I do. It's very much not like pretty much anybody else, to the best of my knowledge. But admittedly, I don't know all of the pod and vlogcasters out there, so this is untapped territory for me. I really don't know, and it's always nice to hear when people have said, you know, this is great, I'm having a good time, and I don't really know where to take this at this point. So I'm gonna kind of ask out for you guys, what would you guys like to see out of it all? And before we do that, let me see, what was it over here? It was Mike, because you also had a question I was going to end up getting to a couple moments. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and let me know what you think about this so far.
Okie dokie. I'm Mike. You guys, if you're in the Atheist on Air Facebook group, can you hear me?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, awesome. If you're in the Atheist on Air Facebook group, you've probably seen me talking. I'm Mike Fowler from there. I just did a little bow, but you can't see because I have my camera off.
That's okay.
I just recently started doing my little YouTube thing and whatnot under the name The Talking Wallflower. So that's who I am. As far as the question that you just posed, I think that is more of a personal option. If you want more people to be coming in rather than the dribble of viewers and followers that you'll be getting without promoting your page and promoting these hangouts and all that good stuff, then yeah, I would look into doing maybe a Facebook fan page, even if you don't do a full-on advertising campaign.
Definitely, if I can jump to that, I'd love to see a Facebook fan page or equivalent where fans and hosts can interact when the show's offline. And I think it'd be a great source of material and questions for new shows, as well as getting the message out there. And, you know, the more people, the more interaction that you get between people, the better.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's been really tough on me because I have a hard time really keeping up on a lot of stuff, and I will be the first to admit it, which is part of the reason why I didn't go looking for setting up a web page, setting up a new G Plus account or Twitter account or anything like that. But for me, it's been really kind of trying to figure out, is it the egg or is it the chicken? Do I wait until there's more attention, or should I go looking for the attention and expect that it's going to hit one way or another? And I'm not even sure which all it should be. That's part of the, I know, like you said, yeah, it's a personal thing because it really depends a lot on how much I'm going to put into, but I don't, again, this is kind of new territory for me. I'm not really sure how it can or does play through.
I think the answer to that is fairly simple. It's going to be very much like dating. Unless you put yourself out there, you're not going to get very much attention.
Yeah. Yes. I very strongly agree with that.
Well, then I guess I'll have to find a couple of pieces that I can do that's not going to outlay me money to any huge degree. Being on a partly subsidized income makes it a little bit tough, but we can see what we can end up doing.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the Facebook group or fan page is easy enough to and cheap enough to set up. Also, if your other avenues for getting attention is that I've noticed there is a lot of interaction between atheists and sort of skeptic podcasters on there. You know, people frequently drop into each other's shows, post on each other's Facebook walls, and so there is a lot of cross-communication already going on there. But really, you need a focus for people to visit or get to.
There is that. I can certainly get behind that. And I'm really, really bad at personal self-promotion on this kind of thing. And Mike, you are there. Hello. Oh, my God. Are you trying out for the new position as Thor for the next series of movies or what?
No, actually, I have a Nirvana tribute show that I'm playing soon, so I had to get rid of my Muslim beard. Just leave the goatee.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah. I know that, well, I know now, and I understand that money is a big issue when you're trying to do something like this and you're trying to promote something like this. But the real problem that I've run into in my past endeavors is actually with the time. There's so many free outlets that you can use, the most popular ones being Facebook and Twitter. But it's really comes down to a time investment. I've started and stopped many small podcasts and many YouTube channels simply because I did not have the time to promote them and to run them. So that might be something you want to keep in mind.
Yeah, and that's also a big piece of that, because there's a couple of things that have unfortunately fallen wayside because of stress, emotional up and down. For those that might not be necessarily familiar with it, I was widowed after 12 years of marriage to the lady who was my one. And it's been 9.5 years now. A lot of stuff is still really, really tough on me mentally. And I still have some really impressive dips and highs in emotions that just kind of, the background radiation, shall we say, that kind of comes up and down depending as to what's going on. And it makes it really tough still to handle a lot of different pieces. And because of that, like I said, there are some pieces that end up falling by the wayside, which becomes a self-fulfilling feedback loop because, you know, I feel bad because it's fallen by the wayside. And then, well, I feel bad, so I don't have the motivation, and I really should, and I just, why bother? And it just becomes a real pain in the ass because I so want something to just work through, and it's tough. It is really just tough. But I understand where you're coming from, and it makes a lot of sense. And I'm hoping to be able to come through with stuff like that. For instance, it took me long enough to even come up with the voicemail line and phone number, which, by the way, the phone number is there on the screen if you want to send a text message or a voicemail. It's area 859 HCTV 554. Not that we get very many of those. Every once in a while, there's a text message, which is really nice. But voicemail would be nice sometime. But that's just me. But it's, like I said, I never did promotional stuff, and I feel very self-conscious about the perfect example. Chris, you've seen Cash's show, Atheists on Air, right?
Certainly, yeah. I'm a regular follower of that.
Okay. And
he's back. I'm going to be back on a more regular basis.
Right, which we love so much. And Mike, I was gonna say, you said yourself, you've been, and you're enjoying the hell out of Cash's show too.
Yes, yeah, actually, that show, I came across it by accident, and it was one of the major pushes for me to continue, well, to restart what I was doing before. So, yeah. Sorry, I had my thing on mute. I was talking with my girlfriend.
Yeah, no worries. You sometimes lucky enough to have one. So as much as I will talk up a good game on various situations, even when I am lucky enough to show up over on Cash's show and call in every once in a while, which it amazes me how many people do, various podcasters that, you know, just suddenly just decide, sure, you know what, screw it, I'll call him, he's one of us, which I really feel amazingly surprised for. Not just that, you know, so many, relatively speaking, a lot of us end up calling him, but that it's he's got a very open area where it's, you know, it we're just hanging out, we're just having a good time, and I love that. And he has no problem with saying, oh, it's you and you're from blah blah blah, and whips it out before you can even say a damn thing about it. And I even feel weird about that. I'm really bad at self-promotion. It sucks.
Well, as a musician, which is my first and foremost thing that I promote, I found that it gets a lot easier to do the shameless self-promotion. The hard part is finding ways to do it that aren't just a recycling of, say, on Facebook, of recycling old posts and stuff like that. And that's really the hardest part. Once you realize that you will get some negative feedback, but it's going to be very little in comparison to the positive feedback that you get and the people that are extremely thankful for that one post or that one video that you just shamelessly put out there, that brings them to you and to an outlet that they can associate with.
Yeah, certainly agree with that, that it does become easier over time, and it's generally not as bad as you sort of you fear it's going to be initially. Another thing that I have, because I'm very reserved to personally, but I find that in a professional context, it's much more easier, you know, much easier to be sort of assertive or professional or outgoing, because I'm representing, say, my employer rather than myself, and it may help to get into a mindset of that what you're posting is as holy crap rather than directly as Eugene.
That's the point. I hadn't really considered it that way, and that makes for a very good piece of information. Thank you.
Yeah, it helps to look at things as your I don't want to say your job, really, but your job. it helps to look at it as you're promoting from a professional perspective rather than just saying, hey, look at me.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like for me. Whether it's real or not, I don't know if this quite qualifies as an irrational fear, but it's a quirk. Well, I'll go as far as that. For those of you that are watching so far, we're about almost an hour into the show. We've got roughly a half hour, 45 minutes or so, depending as to how things go. Thank you, of course, for listening and paying attention. If you would like to join us this evening, by all means, feel free. You can just get in touch with me through any one of a myriad of different ways under the name Shujin Tribble, whether through G+ or Twitter, Facebook. Just send me a message and say, hey, I want to be on with you guys as a panelist right now. For the power of 10 episodes, I guess that's probably where I'm going to end up taking it. Give folks the opportunity of coming on and, you know, talking through stuff. Now, Mike, you had sent me a message earlier, and you were going to be catching up on the episode up so far, and you had something that you wanted me to go ahead and chime in about. So go ahead and pitch it out there now.
Yeah, I would like to know your opinion as well as Chris's opinion on the recent speech that the Pope gave, where he said evolution is true, and apparently it's on my Facebook, at least, I've seen a lot of real strong backlash from the Catholics that are in my friends list that are, like, basically demanding that he get burned at the stake. So I wanted to know your opinions on that speech and whether you think this is going to be a permanent step forward for acceptance of science within the religious circles, or if they're going to burn him at the stake.
Oh man, would that not be interesting to see that backlash? Chris, do you want to go ahead and put your ideas out there first? In this case, I want to hit you on this one specifically first, because for you, the Church of England, obviously enough, is a huge piece still in Great Britain. So you're going to see a lot of fallout from two perspectives out, not just as an atheist, but also from seeing what folks over there, the Church of England and the Protestants on the other sides of the border, all of that yelling and screaming's got to be going on too, I got to imagine.
Yeah, certainly. I've not listened to the Pope's speech in full, but it's great that the Catholic Church is, you know, recognizing the evolution and the Big Bang. It's about time, really. And hopefully it will take some of the wind out of the sails of some of the creationists' position. Because really the magical creation of Genesis is not consistent either internally or with what we see of the world. and sort of just trying to hold back the tide of evidence is, you know, I think they probably recognized not going to be a winning position.
Yep. Now, I will admit, I have not listened to the or read, I should actually say, because I wouldn't bother listening. I'd actually read it. The Pope's comments. I have not read through the news reports that I've seen, but I'm taking a listen to some of the pieces that have been mentioned, and I'm seeing a very decided undercurrent that has been exceedingly interesting for me, and it's got nothing to do with any one particular topic, whether this one or any other at the moment. But here's what I'm seeing out of the Pope Francisco later. He apparently is putting out there stuff that seems to be much more secular than past popes have done. He has been not exactly alienating, but definitely ruffling feathers from the typical older rank and file Catholic members. And that's no secret. But what's been interesting for me on this is, as usual, the why part. I have a very, very, very strong suspicion that he has been hiding much more secular ideals than what he has done in the past. Before he was ascended, shall we say, he was a very large proponent for anti-gay rights. He was very, I'm not quite sure how to word it. He had a very poor track record that as far as a lot of people were concerned for various human rights, reproduction rights, et cetera, many ways down. So now that he has ascended to the popeship, it would appear that a lot of what he had been saying before has changed around quite significantly. For instance, the thing about atheists can go to heaven too, so long as they believe in God and Christ and all that stuff. All right, leave the particulars on that aside for a second. That gay people should be treated nicely or even accepted, even welcomed, which has then been soundly tamped down by the, I believe the term for it is the synod, I think it is.
That's right.
Okay. The idea of God does not wave a magic wand, that the Big Bang and evolution, which evolution, to the best of my knowledge, has been tacitly approved by the Big Holy See for a while now, and yet being tamped down by the Synod again. I am seeing something very, very interesting, that it would appear that the idea of papal infallibility, which we would normally ascribe to Pope says it got to be true, which, all right, it's supposed to be about biblical things, but I'm kind of wondering if we're finally seeing the synod showing its true colors as the puppet string puller over the Pope being much more the figurehead, the talking voice, and the backpedaling that's been going on with so much stuff. I think there is going to be a huge, huge schism because of exactly that. I think Francis is going to end up being the one to make everybody finally separate between the younger, more liberals and the old guard who just want to be strict with it all. and really fracturing it yet again and making it much more a shell of what it used to be until the old guard finally just dies off. That's what I think is really where this is driving to as an ultimate end. So that's not funny at all. That's much better. So now that I gave you that, and I know I kind of talk it out a lot more than what maybe some people would particularly care for, but now that I gave you that and my rationale for it, what do you think of that?
I'd say I don't really have a great deal to add because I'm not really that familiar with the politics of the Catholic Church. On this, I'll hand that over to Mike.
Sure.
Well, as you mentioned before, the fallibility of the papacy has traditionally... hold on. I just constructed that sentence all wrong.
That's okay.
In the past, the Pope has been viewed as infallible. With some of the things he's said and some of the things that this Pope has done, I'm pretty sure that the main puppeteers of the Church will eventually say, you know, the Pope is only human. He is an elected official, after all. And probably either try and get this one to voluntarily step down, as the last one did, due to...
whatever, we don't quite know.
Yeah, little boy fucking. It was little boy fucking. They're either going to try and get him to step down, or at the time that he does step down, they're going to try and discredit everything he said as most likely the influence of the devil, because that's what they do.
Or just human fallibility.
Or just human fallibility, yes. Which is influenced by the devil.
Of course it is. But you kind of open up an interesting piece I was just thinking about. Chris, I don't know how much you follow along with what happens over on our side as far as to the... I don't want to quite call it political news, but the Supreme Court of the United States, the highest court for the federal government. I'm assuming that you've heard at least a little bit of stuff from the atheist circles about how nuts Scalia is.
Yes, and also with the general Catholic balance in the Supreme Court with stuff like the Hobby Lobby ruling. Which is sort of quite disturbing.
That's a nice way of putting it. Mike, you of course all too well familiar with this kind of thing right now too.
Yeah.
So here's the long and short of it of why I'm bringing it up. We have 30 of the 50 states of the United States who have basically said or been told, you're not allowed to discriminate because, discrimination bad, okay? 14th Amendment, hello, you're not supposed to. Everybody's supposed to be treated equal under the law. That's what it says in the books. You're supposed to be following that. So, until we end up having another Little Rock situation where the National Guard's got to get called out again, which is an American reference. Those of you that are not familiar, I'm sorry. I'll explain it another time, I promise. But we have certain lawsuits that are going through the courts that are filtering up to the highest court in the land. And this is interesting because, like I said, 30 out of the 50 states have now had it now, you know, gay marriage or marriage equality is a real thing. It's on the book. It's got to be, because it's just got to be. And now that they're getting closer and closer to dealing with the Supreme Court, we've got Justice Scalia, who is odd, to put it mildly. You, Mike, you mentioned specifically about the devil. I'm pretty sure you know the piece that I'm gonna make reference to.
Yeah, I believe I'm familiar with him saying that the devil's real as well.
Yep. Mike, fill in whatever you want to at this point on this one.
There's certain things that I just don't bother with. And Scalia is actually one of them. Despite being a Supreme Court justice, I'm just waiting for him to die, so it's not really something I concern myself with anymore.
That's a nice way of saying you don't want to try to figure out what the rulings are to get somebody removed from the Supreme Court.
Well, the chances of it actually happening are basically none.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is a pain in the ass.
What was that other crazy son of a bitch? The old one that just recently, he just died like 4 years ago. Filibustered at one point. Was that Supreme Court or congressman?
I don't remember.
By reading the Bible. Shit, I can't remember his name. That son of a bitch just stayed alive to piss everyone off, I swear to God.
You know what? Doesn't really much matter. He's not here anymore? Okay, that's fine. Not in office.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't do that from inside the pine box.
Yeah, but at this point, I don't even bother. It's one person, and that one vote may swing a situation one way or the other, but he's going to croak. that's all there is to it.
Eventually, of course. Yeah. And by the way, before I get onto that, I'm about two-thirds of the way through this. Hitch, how the hell did you drink this stuff? Seriously, dude. I mean, I understand that some people just, you know, take a nice big drink. I don't even get it, but you know, this is for you. So you, fuck you, man. All right, so Justice Scalia.
Also, yes. Before this escapes my mind, gay marriage is not quite legal in 30 states. The refusal to hear the appeals means that on the books, yeah, sort of, because there's currently no laws held up against it.
You're talking about that legal limbo part where it's not illegal, but it's not illegal, but it's
not legal.
Gotcha. Exactly. Which is a big old pain in the ass. Chris, because we ended up hitting...
That's kind of like, you can marry your first cousin in what, like, I think it's like 5 or 6 states, but you have sex with a horse in like 46, because it's not technically illegal. So...
I'm gonna keep my references to that for another time. Believe it or not, there's something about that for another time for later. But Chris, let me bring you back in, because I don't want to leave you out, because I mean I don't mean to be completely U.S. centric, but you know, that's welcome to the show. As far as marriage is concerned out there for you guys, I will admit I am exceedingly ignorant of the goings on. Best of my knowledge, marriage equality is a real thing for you guys out there, no?
It is, yes. And there are, gay people getting married. But it's only been very recently. The legislation was passed in July 2013. So it's still relatively new. There was some opposition, but it's... I think it went through fairly easily. on there, and it'd be very nice if the rest of the US could catch up, because I know globally, in a lot of places, it's still illegal, and some places some very severe penalties.
Yeah, that's all too true. That's something I want to specifically hit for a future show, because there are a number of places where various attitudes are not just discriminated against, but you can find yourself in serious threatened harm for them. And I'm thinking of specifically some places in Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq.
That's death.
Well, exactly my point. I mean, you don't get any much more harm than death, really.
Yeah. Good point. Mm.
So, kind of going from there. But anyway, as far as Justice Scalia is concerned, he has made public comments about religion, very, very specifically. For those of you that might be watching from the future, in which case, hi, am I still alive? Cool, thanks. Actually, you know what? Don't tell me. I don't want to know. It could be the Iraqis. It's the plutonium in the backyard. What he has talked about were things like the devil is a real, I'm not going to say person, entity, that it is, there is a decided preference in the federal government, in the Constitution, for some version of religious belief versus non-belief. That it's preferable to have some belief than none at all, which completely flies in the face of various different things, including the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which, whatever. Read up on Jefferson and his statute for religious tolerance in Virginia, which is a beautiful, beautiful piece. I want to specifically talk about that sometime too, because a marvelous, marvelous piece of legislation. But the guys in the court on the Supreme Court, otherwise typically referred to as SCOTUS, the highest court in the United States, the guys who basically get called in when nobody else is able to figure out is this good or bad, eventually they would be called in for it, and it's up to them to decide whether or not to talk through stuff. They are appointed, after a lot of rambling, for life. And to the best of my knowledge, they are the only officials in government that have that kind of power, that for life they are appointed. And until you die or you step down on your own, that's it. You got a job for the rest of whatever. Which is, in some ways, very gratifying. In some ways, scary as all hell. Chris, I want to hit you one more time on this one, because again, you've got the out of town perspective, so to speak.
Yeah, that's the office for life on there, particularly in such a high position in the justice system. I think is long term probably untenable. There's the old, I can't quite remember the Latin, but the phrase that mean who watches the watchers. That if you've got a body that effectively has very little or no oversight and no means of removing them, realistically, you know, what do you do when they start making bad decisions?
Yeah, which we've theoretically seen. Mike, you were specifically saying it. Hobby Lobby, perfect example of legislation that's like, why the hell? Oh, I'm sorry, it's a Power of 10 episode. Why the fuck? Yeah.
yeah, I'm sorry for the language.
No, by all means, the whole purpose of these episodes, the tens, is we let loose, and it's intentionally supposed to be not safe for work, and if you're not pulling your weight, I'll tell Noah on you, and he'll go ahead and rip you a new asshole.
Noah, like Noah losing, that guy could probably rip God an asshole, really.
And deservedly so.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to look up that stupid old bastard still.
Yeah, no, if it...
I can't remember his name. Everclear. Drink Everclear. It makes you forget stuff.
Well, in this case...
On the... Sort of the... Now that the gay marriage is becoming a reality, on there, one interesting aspect of this we saw in the UK was that civil partnerships were brought in, I believe, previously. And there was I believe it was called the Equal Love Campaign to give, because civil partnerships were for homosexual people only. And there were several couples that were, you know, non-religious and wanted to have a heterosexual civil partnership, and they weren't allowed to because, for whatever reason, they didn't want necessarily, they wanted the legal protections and benefits that come with marriage and of recognizing their relationship, but they didn't want the religious baggage or associations with it, which was great. And I think it's time that society and governments recognize that human relationships are not just one man, one woman. There's a lot of people that are in different relationships. So, you know, what would your thoughts on maybe recognizing, say, polygamous marriages or other types of relationships in the same way legally that the marriage is?
Well, that ends up being an interesting piece for...
Thurgood.
Pardon?
Thurgood. For some reason, Thurgood is coming to my head.
You think Thurgood Marshall? Was it
Thurgood Marshall? No, no, it wasn't Thurgood Marshall.
No, because the only other Thurgood I know is he's still alive and he's playing really, really cool blues-based music, rock and roll. So it's a whole other thing entirely right there.
Yeah.
But as far as to, for myself... For multiple partner or polygamous, polyamorous relationships and recognition and such, I'm not entirely certain about this one. And I'm not saying that in a shouldn't happen kind of thing. I'm thinking in the terms of what is a marriage contract? Effectively, the civil part of it all, leaving aside the trappings of the religious pomp and circumstance for a second, which is usually just a party, really. A wedding contract is a contract. It comes down to saying and putting out in legal terms, I intend to be there for you, you intend to be there for me. We're going to pool our resources, we will become effectively one entity, and we will give back to the government in taxes as if we were one entity as a, how do I, effectively a limited liability company, but not. So for me, I don't see where it's that much of a stretch to go beyond that and say, We three are going to, we are pledging ourselves one to another in the same way that two people would. We're going to pool our resources. We're going to work for the benefit of each of us, and we will be paying back into taxes, into the government, as a company made of three people, the same as what we would if it was just two of us. I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm very unfamiliar with the internal trappings of it all, because I will admit, it's 9.5 years since I've been married. It's hard for me to really remember a lot of the stuff. Brain break, hurt kind of thing. So, again, I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing. Unless, of course, you're going out to Utah and you're dealing with 13-year-old wives. But that's a whole other thing. Mike, you, by all means, go ahead and hit.
Well, when both parties are able to consciously, and there's another freaking word I'm looking for. When you're able to understand what you're getting yourself into.
Consent.
Consent, there we go. When you have the mental capacity for consent, then I see no problem with you having as many freaking wives or husbands as you want, as long as it's completely consensual. You would need the consent not only of the two people getting married, but the third party that is in the marriage already. If you have two people married, okay, and the husband wants to take another wife, well, that wife should have consent from the first wife. If you have two people married and the wife wants to take another husband, then that second husband should have consent from the first husband. It should be completely consensual across the board. And as you mentioned with the Mormons out in Utah, 13 is not a reasonable age of consent. At 13, I was doing stuff consensually that I had no frickin' business doing. And then you get into Muslim where if it bleeds, you can marry it, and there is no consent between the wives. And that, in my personal opinion, is not something that should be supported by our government here or really any government abroad, although it is by some.
Obviously speaking about, you know, people going into an aware consensual relationship on there. And I was thinking in terms of, say, you've got a group of four people that in a polygamous relationship. What happens legally if one of them wants to leave the relationship currently in terms of things like shared property?
Like because I said, they're
not legally married, you know, they lack many of the protections that they would otherwise have. And I know this probably affects only a small number of people, but there's, you know, no reason why they should not be protected equally. And then again, there are other types of consensual human relationships that could also benefit from legal, you know, protection.
Well, sure, that's a very good question. And there's this wonderful thing called a prenuptial agreement. That to a degree can solve some of those problems. You're always going to have a gray zone where if all four parties invested in a home, for instance, there would have to be an agreement beforehand. But as that is currently not technically legal, there's not many laws against it. So it's kind of like horse fucking. There may not be a law directly against it.
Yeah, true enough. But there is also, if you take the analogy of effectively forming a corporation, which a civil portion of marriage I've kind of viewed as, and again, this is for me, I was married, I was married in 93. So again, it goes back a long time for me at this point, so I don't remember all the intricacies. But I don't see any reason why it would be terribly difficult to make that manageable. Again, a prenup is a wonderful thing, But keeping an inventory for each of what's being brought to the table, to the relationship, isn't a terribly onerous thing. It may be tedious, of course, because, I mean, who's got which CD? Oh, okay, I got this one. Really? You've got Alda Nova? Really? Oh, okay. You know, I don't know what you see in Alda Nova. I mean, it was okay. Some people know what the album is. Mike, you obviously know the album I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I mean, that's CD collections and whatever can be a relatively trivial thing, but when you're talking about sort of shared real estate and vehicles and stuff, then it becomes a slightly different ballpark.
Well, to a certain degree, yeah, but at the same time, it's still something that can be fairly easily inventoried and kept track of to a certain degree. Mike?
Well, I mean, that's kind of like your taxes. I'm co-owner of a business, and we make sure that we keep receipts for every little thing that goes into that business, because having those receipts proves, first off, that money's going into the business, but second off, because it's between myself and my father, it actually does keep track of who bought what. So if I decide that at some point I want to move all of the equipment that I have purchased up north, we actually have a business contract agreement that allows me to do that, assuming that I can prove that the things I'm taking with me are the things that I purchased for the company. When it gets to the point where you're having 3, 4, 5, 6 people and you have one piece of property, there's ways around that. It's, again, it's not something that I've thoroughly thought through for a couple of reasons. The main one being I'm not that big into the idea of marriage in a legal sense. So I haven't even considered any of that. But there's ways around that. There's ways to say, okay, well, this is the value of the property, and here is a cash refund on what you put into the value of this property. Again, keeping receipts and shit like that. But that's honestly, and even I'm seeing the flaw in that right now, that's not something that people who are or feel that they are deeply in love would really feel necessary to do. And I could see others who don't have the same mindset that I do actually taking it as an affront when their spouse keeps every single receipt just in case. So, I mean, there's issues involved, but I still personally think if it's consensual and if all parties do consent, then they should be allowed to try it. We also have divorce courts and whatnot. I see benches on the side of the road all the time that say divorce lawyer for men only, divorce lawyer for women only, or just family lawyer. There's an entire industry built around relationships falling apart. So, yes,
certainly. And that's very much in the legal framework of the current two-person marriage. When you expand on that, it's not something that's recognized, so I'm not sure to what extent those laws would apply. It was just something really I raised as an interesting question to see what people's thoughts were on possible expansions of sort of legal recognition of relationships could be in the future.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why I love trying to do the piece that I do with all this. Like, we kind of discussed that off the air before we got going, that, I mean, that's the area of the questions that I love, trying to figure out all the ins and outs. Why does it even matter before, you know, coming to a firm conclusion on anything, which is not the easiest thing in the world to do a lot of times, but like I said, it works great for trying to help my mind bring itself back up. All right, we're getting very close in on to closing time pretty quickly. So before we go ahead and see about whatever things we want to wrap up with, Hitch did it. It took me an entire fucking episode, but you know what? Fuck you, I did it. I still don't isn't this the stuff that's supposed to go into, like, you know, car engines, make sure it doesn't freeze overnight in the cold?
No, that's not. You want to see what goes into car engines to make sure it doesn't freeze overnight?
I live outside of Buffalo, man. I know about this stuff. What do you got?
This stuff.
I've heard of that.
Don't fucking drink it. There's even, like, a warning label at the bottom. I don't know if you can see this, but it says not intended for consumption unless mixed with non-alcoholic beverages.
What percentage alcohol was that?
I'm sorry, what?
What percentage alcohol was that?
It's Everclear. It's 75.5% or 151 proof grain vodka.
Yeah, certainly. A bar I used to work in used to sell absinthe that was around 90% by volume, which was rather scary stuff. And you don't want to have too many.
You basically carried a bomb in the bar.
No, not just a bomb, a psychotropic bomb.
Yes.
Oh man, that is just insane. All right, so we gotta see about getting ourselves out of here. But before we do, was anything last that you wanted to bring to the table, Mike? Before we see about closing up shop.
Actually, the only other thing that it's basically unrelated to anything except for your. You brought up your promoting earlier. I'm doing a series of interviews with podcasters and YouTubers on my YouTube channel. You may have seen me post up the first one, which was with Deconverted Man. If you would like, if you're interested, I would actually like to do an interview with you, give you kind of a self-promotion video to do.
I'm flattered, like you wouldn't believe, truthfully.
Well, I'll talk to you on Hangouts and we'll set it up. I actually have one coming out tomorrow, in case you missed the Deconverted Man one. I have one that the guy is not actually a YouTuber, he's an ex-Mormon. That I happen to know. So if you want to watch that, and if you want to pop in and ask him some questions, you're more than welcome to.
Sure.
Where would we go about finding that, Mike?
You'll find it on youtube.com/talkingwallflower. I'm sorry, I'm in the dark right now. I can't smoke inside. I have cats. I have to be responsible about their health and stuff.
Understandable.
You'll find it on youtube.com/talkingwallflower. And the link to join the Hangout will actually be in the description box as soon as we have the Hangout going. It's going to be between 6 and 7 o'clock Eastern time, so New York time, tomorrow evening. Holy crap, it's cold out here.
Wait a second. What roughly whereabouts are you actually?
Fuck roughly. I'm in Miami. I'm in Miami, bitch.
You're in.
I gotta make that joke. I'm in Miami, Florida, actually. It's supposed to be warm down here. It's supposed to always be warm down here. Right now, hold on. Let me check the temperature. It is 48 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm not used to this.
Don't blame you. Hold on a second. for those that don't do Imperial anymore, that puts it at almost 9 Celsius. So that's a little bit nifty for
me. Don't do that to me.
Well, I've been working on trying to make the hard switch over to metric, because truthfully,
it makes more sense.
Oh God, it does. I'm at least making Tiny Tribble like bilingual at least, because she gets Imperial all the time in school. But I'm trying really hard to make sure that I'm doing all the conversions while I can, you know, in the car with us and doing the thing. And she's like, "Dad, how cold is it outside right now?" Actually, it's 12, so you know, windbreaker is good. Okay, I can do that. And she gets to school and she's just like, comes back and. It doesn't make sense. What are they talking about? I mean, I get it, but Dad, why? I don't know, kiddo. We were stupid because, in the 70s.
Because America.
Because
we're different.
I mean, is there any sort of movement in America towards using the metric system, or is it going to be sticking with Imperial?
Okay.
Actually, every science teacher I've ever had has taught us in metric. They told us if we wanted to do it in quote-unquote standard, then we could figure it out for ourselves. So past, I guess you would call it preliminary school. We call it elementary school, grades 1 through 5. After that, all of my science teachers stuck with metric because it's the scientific standard.
Yeah, now this is something I can actually speak to, and this is good to close us out on, which, by the way, according to my little thing over here, Yellowknife, up in the Northwest Territories of Canada, it is currently at -6 Celsius, and clear, which means it's going to be balls cold when they finally wake up in the morning. Right now they're looking at, they're looking at -23 Celsius as a low come Friday. Which is, the way that I explain it to people who don't understand, negative anything Celsius is fucking burr. Just leave it at that.
Yeah.
That's the only way to put it. All right, what happened was, 1978-79, the American president at the time was Jimmy Carter, who was not viewed very favorably by a lot of people
Peanut
for
Man.
Various reasons. That's one of them. Yeah, he was nicknamed Peanut Man. But he was pushing for acceptance and conversion from Imperial to metric. As a matter of fact, I was in grade school at the time, and I had a metal lunchbox with metric everything all over it. I thought this was the coolest thing in the world. And the conversions were happening. The push was happening. The education was happening. Until Congress pulled the funding from the organizations that were pushing it, that were making the conversions happen. So with a lack of funding, of course, you can't make anything change. And therefore, the status quo remains because, well, like you said, America.
Yeah. Well, our Congress likes to pull funding for anything that might be beneficial. So, America.
Yeah, which sucks. But there are some areas where the acceptance is a little bit higher for, you know, understanding it. When you're dealing with the border up by us, especially over here with Canada, it's not really that much acceptance, but we, Tiny Tribble and I, go across the Canada border to Toronto at least once a year for Fernal Equinox, which I'll end up talking about in a future show. But the conversion isn't that difficult, really. Speed, okay, it takes a little bit of getting used to, but you know, you clock in on the highway at 100 kph. Okay, it's only a little bit faster than, you know, highway speed in the States of
60 miles an hour.
Yeah, and it's really not that much different. The temperature, yeah, it takes a little getting used to because, you know, it's a little bit different. Where 20 is comfortable, but, you know, 20 Fahrenheit, you know, you're pulling out the electric socks at that point. But, you know, it's really not that terribly difficult.
You're holding matches to your balls to keep your future kids alive.
Exactly. But
I just I know people that would do that for fun, but
you know some fucked up people.
It gets even more fun. As a sideline on this one, Fuji and I got the opportunity of going to Japan and Australia, and when we got down to Sydney, my buddy let us know that if we'd come in a day earlier, we could have gone to a BDSM party to as a viewer. That he knew somebody that flogged a lady, no lie, no exaggeration, with refrigerator door. I don't know how. All I know is I believe him because he would not lie about shit like that.
Excuse me while I wrap my brain around this and look at my refrigerator door.
I know. And considering Fujin was 5 foot nothing, I don't know. No.
Mini fridge?
I don't think so. I don't know. But anyway, that's a sideline thing. In back to the metric thing for a second.
Yeah.
There, it does make much more sense. And let me take us out with this. We've talked on a couple of occasions on the show about what the harm is for dogmatic thinking, whether it's religious-based or not. And religion, of course, is the biggest piece of it all that happens dogmatically. You follow it, and that's it. But believe it or not, there actually is a real harm for following the dogmatic thinking about which measuring system you're going to use. Are you going to use imperial or are you going to use metric? What is the harm to this? The harm is a multi-billion dollar investment, a multi-year investment for a piece of electronics, a sensor platform that pancaked into Mars because somebody didn't do the proper conversion from imperial to metric. That's the harm of not playing nice with everybody. There's maybe three countries in the world that are still using the imperial system for no other good reason other than A, America, and B, well, America's doing it, and well, why should we change? Because we deal with them a lot. When everybody else in the world is saying, dudes, metric is like everybody else's language. You could at least, you know, try to work with us. We said it before. Dogmatic thinking is bad, okay? Don't do it. As the guys at Cognitive Dissonance are fond of closing with their show, question everything. There's no reason not to. In this day and age where you have 8 times the knowledge that was ever stuffed in the Library of Babylon at your fingertips through the aether almost any time, anywhere, day or night, doesn't matter where you are, even if you're in orbit, you've got no excuse not to. Keep thinking for yourselves. We're not going to tell you what to think. We're just going to tell you to think. And that's the biggest difference. The closest thing science has to dogma is keep learning more. Keep questioning, keep learning, keep discovering, and never be satisfied with just because. So we're going to go ahead and get ourselves on out of here. Chris, especially, thank you so very much for taking the time and asking to be on. I truly, grandly appreciate your time, man. Thank you so very much.
No problem, and I'd be happy to do it again if there's ever space for me.
I think we can probably find some space on occasion. And, of course, Was there anything that you'd like to plug for yourself? Now that I'm thinking about it, I should really start doing that.
No, there's nothing to plug for me.
Well, you know what? Piss off then. I don't care. Mike, thank you for your time also, especially. And seriously, thank you so very much.
No problem, dude.
Plug away.
The only thing I really have to say is I have a rule. Whenever somebody asks me how much, how many, how far, how long, the answer is always two. That is all.
All right. So with that, everyone, thank you so very much for being part of the show. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I know full well this is not a sexy podcast or vlogcast like some of the others, but we do always think that we have something worthwhile to discuss and to impart, and perspectives that are worth listening to and to really describing and discussing. So if you would like to chime in at any one time, or if you'd like to see about coming on the next Power of 10 episode, by all means, let me know. You can send me email at shujintribble@gmail.com. Just make sure you put holy crap in the subject line so I know how to address it properly. If you would like to find me and put me in your circle or friends over on Facebook or G+, you can find me under the same name, shujintribble. Please send me a message also on top of that so I know how you know me from, so I know that you're not just some spammy robot or something just randomly trying to friend me. I'd appreciate it. Additionally, Twitter, you can find me under shujintribble. You Google me under shujintribble, you will find me friggin' everywhere. It's really hard to miss me at that point. Fortunately, there's a whole story behind the name, but we'll save it for another time. In any case, thank you for making it through. On many an occasion, I remind folks that there are a lot of different things that you could be doing. The fact that you took the time out to follow along with us, to listen, and to ask questions mean that you find something worthwhile in what we're doing here. And for that, I thank you, because it means that you're finding something worthwhile, and that means that we're doing something right. So now, as always, I say my goodnights for all of you, and I say my goodnights for my lady, too, because 9.5 years on, I am still in love. Matane Fujin. I love you and I miss you. You dream of me. And for all of you, of course, out there, thank you for your time, and until the next time we get together, everyone, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+ pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.